So I think that's all the announcements. I gave you something a little bit unusual. I gave you sermon notes that you don't have to fill out. Ha! Go keep those kind of notes coming. And the reason I did this, you'll notice that it doesn't really say a whole lot. What I wanted to do is I'm gonna say the stuff, but I wanted to give you all the scriptures. So as we go through this study together, that I hope is interesting and thought-provoking this morning, I'm going to be alluding to a lot of scripture, and I can't really put it all on the board. I can't really read them all. And then a lot of times people say, well, what were those scriptures? So I wanted to give you all the scriptures so you can put that away in your Bible. You don't even need to look at that this morning, but you'll have that if you want to do some more study. This morning, I wanted to talk a little bit about how to check your spiritual armor. I want to begin, and I want to tell you why I want to talk about this, but I want to begin by looking at, I just lost my notes. There it is. Begin by looking at this scripture together. Romans 13:11-14. If you want to turn your Bibles, you can with me. Or you can just follow along on the screen. It says, and do this, knowing that the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. How many of you believe we're closer to Jesus Christ's return than ever before? I sincerely do. Paul says this, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. He goes on and he says, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now, when I was a kid and I went to church, I went every Sunday with my folks and I heard a lot of sermons. I heard that we should have the joy of the Lord. I heard that we should love the Lord. I heard that we should trust the Lord. I heard, you know, good stuff. But I remember walking away so many times saying, well, how do you do that? You know, I would leave no one knowing what I was supposed to do, but I would leave not really knowing how to do it. And I'm kind of want to know the practical how-tos. So when I read a scripture like this, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust, I'm thinking, well, if I put on the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be walking in the armor of light, and that'll keep me from doing the wrong things, and it will help me have victory in life. Isn't that the way you read it? That's the way I read it. But I figured, how do you do that? So it's like, do you go to the Christian clothing store and you say, well, I'll take one of those Jesus Christ jumpsuits, and you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to walk around and you're overall saying, now I got the Lord Jesus Christ on and I'm ready to go? So I started to think about that. I was reading in my devotions and I hit that speed bump of that verse going 60 miles an hour and boom, I just stopped and I went, well, how do I do that? How do I put on the Lord Jesus Christ? So I thought to myself, well, I know the Bible talks about our spiritual armor, and I've taught on our spiritual armor. Then I remembered a terrible dream I used to have when I was a kid. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this dream. I think I've alluded to it before, but I'll tell it to you anyway. Getting ready for school, lunchbox packed. How many remember when you used to have the metal lunchbox as a theme one with the thermos? Man, I always did. And you had to go to the bus stop to catch the bus to go to school. And so I would have this dream. I would have my books in one hand. I'd have my Scooby-Doo. No, it wasn't Scooby-Doo. I don't know who it was. Maybe it was like back then. What would it be? Maybe Superman. I don't know what. but I'd have my lunchbox in the other hand. I'd be standing there waiting for the bus. Everybody else would be there, and then all of a sudden I'd look and I'd realize I was standing in my skibbies, my tennis shoes and socks. I forgot to put my shirt and my pants on. I don't know why I had that dream. Now, I know you could probably take that dream to a psychologist and they'll find out that I'm all really messed up. But I had that dream in a recurring theme, you know, a certain period of time. And there, I remembered I would go, I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared. I wonder if anybody else notices. And I'd look around. No one else ever seemed to notice, but I knew. And I thought to myself that dream, maybe God just saved that for this. But I realized that how many times in my life do I go out to live for Christ, to live my life each day, to live as a Christian? And really, in all honesty, I got my books, my Bible in one hand, my Scooby-Doo lunch box in the other hand, my shoes and socks on, but I'm walking around in my skibbies. You see, I forgot my armor. I forgot to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm sorry. I hope that didn't offend anybody. I hope you still love me. If it did, then, you know, the Bible says you have to pray for me and forgive me. So why do we need to check our armor daily? Well, I want to tell you two things. I'm just going to give you two scriptures here. We're in a battle. Now, some people, you know, this whole thing about being in a battle, well, I don't want to be in a battle. I don't want to be in a battle. I just want to have blessing and joy and everything. I want to tell you, I do too. If I could get out of the battle, I'd do it. If I could change the whole dynamics of everything in life, I'd do it. But let me tell you what the Bible says. Ephesians 6:10-13 says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the Bible tells me there's a devil. And the word wiles means crafty, deceitful plans. So we have an adversary. And we're pitted in life against this adversary. And it says here that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Verse 12, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand and withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You see, you can't escape the battle. You can only win it or lose it. We're in a battle today in our country for the morality and soul of our nation. We can't escape that battle either. We will either win it or we'll lose it. You're in a battle for the health and well-being of your marriage and your children. Do you know that the whole world is trying to snatch the heart of your children? Deceive them? Lead them to a godless life? We'll either win that battle or we'll lose it. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God, in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Bottom line, we're in a battle, folks. You're in a battle for your thoughts every day, men especially. The enemy's trying to steal your thoughts away. He's trying to fill your mind with lust. You're in a battle. I can't really speak as much to women's battles, but you're in a battle too. So I want to this morning say this, that we need to have a spot way of making a spot assessment to make sure we're fully suited up. You know, we've got the breastplate, and we've got all these things. And I'm going to kind of use some more modern terms this morning of four of those pieces of armor. And I'm going to give you the check and some checkpoints. First of all, there is the belt check. Now, there's one thing that really is awkward is if you leave the house without your belt. And if your belt, I had to go buy a new belt because sometimes after a while your belt gets stretched out and those pants just don't stay up. And I had to, I actually, because I had some expensive belts, I actually went to Gibson's and got one of those leather tools so I could punch holes in my belts, right? Hey, that was one of the best things I ever bought. Your belt's really important, folks. Your belt's really important. How many of you ever seen those guys that are walking around without their belts? You're looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. That's all I got to say. I saw this guy walking. I guess it was his mom, and he's walking with his mom, you know, and wheeling the cart of groceries at a Walmart parking lot. I mean, you could see his, you know, he's got his boxers on, right? And then his pants are below his, and he's walking like this because he dare not stop or they're all coming down. Or then I saw one guy didn't have a belt and he would walk two steps, pull it back up, walk two steps, go pull it back up. That's the way we live sometimes in our spiritual lives. We need a belt. And that belt, the Bible says, is the belt of truth. So what is our checkpoints for the belt check? I'm going to ask you three questions on each one of these. These are not exhaustive. They're not maybe the most profound questions that could be asked, but they're simple questions that can help you think, hey, did I remember my belt? Okay, first question. Am I hiding the word of God in my heart daily? Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, O God, that I might not sin against thee. Am I hiding the word of God in my heart daily? Belt check. Is God's word in my heart? Second one. Am I living each day by the counsel of the word of God? Not just reading it, not just memorizing it, but am I really doing it? The Bible tells us in James, do not be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. Don't deceive yourself. You can't just hear it, say, oh, I believe that, and then not do it. You're walking out of the house without your belt. Your pants are going to fall to the ground. The third question is this. Am I experiencing daily victory or freedom through the word of God? Do you really believe that God, we sang about freedom, we sang about victory, we sang about all these things. Sometimes I think we sing about things that we don't really, really, really believe sometimes. Jesus said, if you're my disciples, here's what you're going to do. You're going to continue in my truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If I'm not walking in increasing degrees and growing in freedom, then I forgot my belt. Then I forgot my belt. If the word of God is not being hidden in my heart, I forgot my belt. If I'm not living each day through the counsel of God's word, I forgot my belt. If I'm not experiencing victory through the word of God, freedom in my life, I forgot my belt. They overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. The word of their testimony wasn't something they made up, folks. It was the word of God. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, three times he said, it is written, it is written, it is written, and it says the devil had to flee from him. It's the word of God. That's your belt. Everybody got your belt? Okay. Next one is our coat check. Everybody needs a coat. How many remember your mother? It's cold outside. You're getting ready to go outside. You go to school. Hey, James, you got your coat? Yeah. Where's your coat, Hannah? Well, it's in the car. What's it in the car for? It's cold out there. Get your coat on. Come on, parents. How many of you said that over and over and over again? Oh, coats are important. Especially, we realized that in this year in Texas, didn't we? In the month of what? February or March? When was it? March. Was it March?
May 2.
Yeah, coats are relative, aren't they? You know, it depends. My wife always needs to have a coat. Yeah, look at that. She always wants her coat with her. The Bible says, having then the breastplate, put it on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is our coat. So what are the checkpoints of whether we have put on the coat, whether we have the breastplate of righteousness on us. First of all, am I walking in the forgiveness and cleansing of Christ? The Bible tells us very clearly that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That when you accept Jesus Christ, he forgives you, he cleanses, he pardons you. If you're not walking in that understanding, then you forgot your coat. See how simple these are? Number two, am I walking in intimacy with God through the Holy Spirit? We have been made right with God, and we have been invited into the very Holy of Holies with God, meaning God invites us into his house. He invites us into his house so we can have fellowship with him. If we're not having fellowship with God because we don't really realize that we are fully forgiven, pardoned, and cleansed by God, and we're carrying around some sense of unworthiness, some sense of condemnation, then we've forgotten our coat. See, I don't enter into the presence of God because I've got a good-looking coat. I enter into the presence of God because I've got his coat. I'm going to be going in August to Los Angeles to the 100th birthday of the owner of our company, Mercado Latino. His name is Graciliano Rodriguez, and he turns 100 years old this year. It's going to be held at some swanky country club, and the word I got is it's black tie. How many ever been invited to a black tie event? A black tie event, if you showed up like this, you ain't getting in. You see, I can't go into the presence of God without the coat. It's not a coat I earn. It's not a coat I buy. It's a coat that's given to me that has been purchased with the blood of Christ and is given to me freely when I place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have that coat, and now I'm invited. Do you have the coat on? Third question. There's a third one here. Am I walking in the full assurance of my salvation? Can I tell you something? You don't lose your salvation every other day. You make a mistake today, you don't lose your salvation. You backslide, you don't lose your salvation. If you're truly born again, God has you in his hand. He said, Father, all that you've given to me, none of them has fallen or been snatched away, except the one who never really knew him to begin with. 1 John 2:18 and 19 says, they went out from us to make it clearly evident that they were never really of us. Here's the deal. If you're really of Christ, you're going to continue with Christ. Your daily bumps in the road, this is not a free pass to sin, folks. If you think it's that, you're presuming and misunderstanding the grace of God. But how many in here sin this week? Come on. Come on. Everybody, you all did. And if you didn't raise your hand, you just did right then. Because you just lied. So you're all lumped in. When I mess up, I don't lose my salvation. When my daughter messes up, he can't even do anything wrong right now, but when little Roy Jackson finally gets that little, I'm going to do my own thing, he doesn't get disenfranchised from being a son. My daughter doesn't get disenfranchised from being my daughter. Thought about it sometime? No, I'm just teasing. Never. Never. So do you have your coat on? Is this practical stuff, folks? Okay. Next one. Is your shoe check? How many know shoes are important? Let me tell you, one time we were at our Galveston trip. Every August, we have a birthday thing. Our family does a birthday thing for Hannah. We go to Galveston as a family. And we were at Galveston, and this was right after the hurricane season when they had lost everything the very year after. And we were there to go swimming. And I was there. We were by the water. And they only had one restroom area and snack shack because the rest of them hadn't been rebuilt. And it was way far this way. There was volleyball courts. And then so I looked and... and I said, I got to go use the restroom and get something from the snack shack. So I looked, and I just started walking. I started walking. All of a sudden, I didn't have my flip-flops on. All of a sudden, my feet started burning. And I looked back and I thought, well, it's equidistant between the towel and the restroom. And I really got to use the restroom. So I started running to the shack, Didn't have my shoes on. I finally got to the shack, and I won't go into I went to the shack. But then I looked at my feet, and they were all full of blisters. I had to go all the way back because I couldn't yell to Karen. She wouldn't hear me. And then I had to hobble all the way to the car, and she took me back to the hotel room. And I had to soak my feet in cold water and recover. It was painful, folks. We need shoes. Checkpoints. Am I actively involved in serving others? You see, the Bible says we're to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? That means my feet are prepared to do good news, to bring good news, to do good things. So are my feet taking me in the direction of helping and serving others? If they're not, I forgot my shoes. Am I joyfully engaged in sharing Christ with others? When I have an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody, do I do it joyfully? Am I really ready to do it? Do I look for opportunities to do it? If I don't, I don't have my shoes on. It's getting real quiet. Am I joyfully and regularly going to the house of the Lord? David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. If I'm not regularly and joyfully going to the house of the Lord with my brothers and sisters to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then guess what? I don't got my shoes on. Okay, everybody look down. Y'all remember those shoes, but we need to remember the shoes of the gospel of peace. Do you have your shoes on? Next one. The umbrella check. Now, I called this the umbrella check rather than the faith check because really, faith is a shield. Faith is an umbrella, isn't it? It keeps us from the fiery darts of the wicked one. I thought it's a little more easy for us to understand because we don't pick up a shield today, do we? No, but let me tell you the one. Now, I travel. I'm leaving again Monday. I travel all the time. And even one of my doctors, the lady who works at the front desk, said, boy, you travel a lot. I said, yeah. And the cleaners, they know me because I bring in my clothes folded. My dirty clothes. Finally, the girl couldn't stand it any longer. And she said, why are your clothes always folded? Because everyone else is coming into the cleaners. They have wads of clothes and they just play on the desk. Here I have all these neat little stacks and I said, this one's dry cleaned and this one's light starch and this one's medium starch and this one launder, no starch. And they go, this guy's got it. Right? The one thing, well, that's because when you travel a lot, you unpack, well, maybe you don't. Here's how I do it. I come to the hotel room, I put all my clean stuff in the drawer, take my dirty stuff, put it in the bottom, then when I leave, it's all folded, plop, it goes back in the suitcase, onto my next stop. I always have my clean clothes on top, my dirty clothes on the bottom. When I come home, they're all folded. I'm not going to just unfold them and put them in a wad just to make the girl happy. All this to get to the point. The one thing that people don't normally pack when they prepare, the one thing that's most often forgotten, it's not the toothbrush. It's not the deodorant, although you might think that by walking in some of the airports. It's not deodorant. It's an umbrella. People forget the umbrella. Checkpoints. Am I fully convinced that God is who he says he is? You know, the shield of faith wasn't some little puny shield, a little guy, you know, a little round one. Okay, I'm going to just. It was a full-body shield. You ever watch those really guys? Listen, the young people, you've watched them. Those movies, I don't know, James is probably into this. The warrior movies, and you got the guys on the front line. How would you like to be that guy? Say, okay, James, front line. And you have, all you had was, but you had this panoply, this full-body shield. And you had a spear or a sword with you, and this whole line of people, and you just marched like this, and the other group marched like this, just boom, boom, boom. The guy who got killed was the guy who didn't hold up to his shield. If he like went, I wonder how many people are there. Doggone it! I forgot I wasn't supposed to do that. I don't know if you, but I'm having fun today. So, what? I got to hurry. Am I fully convinced that God is who he says he is? Do I really believe God is who he says he is? Number two, am I acknowledging him in all my ways? You see, faith believes that God is who he says he is. Faith believes that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If I believe he is who he says he is, then I'm going to acknowledge him in all my ways. I'm going to trust him and not lean to my own understanding. And finally, number three, on the umbrella, am I honoring him with my tithes and offerings? Because if I really believe God, if I really have faith in God, then I'm going to also honor him with my offerings, because I'm not going to worry about things financially. I'm going to put God first. A few weeks ago, I told you that the heart bone's connected to the wallet bone. And here are the word of the Lord. Okay, so that brings us to the next check. And that's our hat check. And the Bible calls the hat the helmet of salvation. Now, hats are an important thing. Let me tell you, when you have this, it's important. Randy, am I talking right? You know, I don't even got that. And one time I did a drive to San Antonio with my convertible. Top down, baby. I was going to do 4.5 hours in the sunshine. Woohoo! And I'm just cruising. I had a hat on, though. When I got to San Antonio, I also had a red triangle on the back of my head that blistered and peeled. You know how weird that looked? So now I do full cover caps. Hats are important. Okay, checkpoints. Number one, am I seeking a better country and a better inheritance? Meaning, are my thoughts and my directions and all of the things that I'm really involved in, is it to be part of God's kingdom? Number two, am I walking in the assurance of my salvation? Am I really thinking and understanding, not only in my spirit, but in my mind, the reality of my salvation? Am I walking in the assurance of my salvation? And number three, am I thinking about things that are above rather than things on the earth? See, the helmet keeps the things out that are harmful. And when we have the helmet of salvation on, we're focused upon the things of God. We're focused upon the kingdom of God. We're focused upon the realities of our salvation. And what Paul says in Colossians 3, he says, think of the things that are above, not the things that are below. So my question is, do you have your hat on? Now, I called this one, and forgive me for this. I'm going to tell you why I called it this. But I wanted to make it a little more understandable for you. I call this next one the wallet check. Now, the Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit. Why did I choose wallet this morning? Let me tell you why. Not about money. It's about power. When I go into a restaurant, probably today, and I order food, and they bring it to my table, if I don't have this, I'm in trouble. Because the only thing that gives me the ability to secure that lunch is the power that is represented in the card or the green things that are within this wallet. It's the currency of life, right? I can't go to the gas station without money. I can't go to Walmart without money. I can't pay my taxes without money. I'm not worshiping money. I'm just telling you it's the currency of life. The currency of our spiritual life, folks, is the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God in the sense of the offensive tool that we have in our hand. So here's three checkpoints for you. Am I daily growing in the knowledge of God's Word? Am I really growing to understand the Word of God? Or do I just remember a few verses from Sunday school? Is God showing me something new every day? I want to tell you, God is continually amazes me, continually shows me things, continually is unveiling His Word. He turns it over every day. I think of things I've never thought of before. I'm writing of things I've never wrote before. I'm just embracing things I've never embraced before because the sword of the Spirit is not just two-sided. It has infinite sides, depths, and dimension. Number two, am I daily overcoming the enemy through God's Word? John writes to, he says, I write to young men because you know the Word of God and you've overcome the enemy. I want to tell you, the only thing that overcomes the enemy is the truth. We already said it, but I'm saying it in a different way. It's your offensive weapon. James, when you're behind that shield, if all you had was a shield, you're dead too. You have to have an offensive weapon. Jesus, when he walked this earth, didn't walk the earth as God supreme. He walked the earth as a humble man. With the same tools we had, the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And when he faced Satan, it was a real temptation. You could say, well, it wasn't real because he was God. Well, he was God in human flesh, and he was sinless, but it was a real temptation nonetheless. And if he would have sinned, he would have ceased being the Son of God. But he didn't say this. Well, you're Satan and I'm Jesus, so just get out of here because I'm greater than you. You remember the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts? They heard Paul casting out demons in the name of Jesus, and so they were these Jewish guys. They thought, hey, that's cool, let's do that too. And so they went to this guy who was demon-possessed, and they said, in the name of Jesus, come out. And that man was naked and wild, and he beat them all up, and they left naked, wild, and beat up and cut up. It didn't work for them, folks. They didn't have the breastplate of righteousness. They didn't have the helmet of salvation. They didn't have the belt of truth. They didn't have their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They tried to take something that they had no authority to use. But we can overcome the enemy through the Word of God. And finally, am I daily encouraging others with God's words? Are the words I'm speaking words of life? Or am I criticizing and judging people all the time? Am I looking and drawing out from them the best that God desires from them and encouraging them with the hope of the gospel and the hope of the truth of the Word of God? Or am I just giving them? I loved it when I was a young Christian, and I just don't ever want to do this, but someone came up to me. James, you're in the firing line today, sorry. But they just came up to me and says, Kirk, I really appreciate your enthusiasm, but you'll learn. Hallelujah, they were wrong. I'm stubborn. I ain't learning. Okay? And the final one, dear ones, is the attitude check. So how many? No, you can get all dressed up, but if you got a bad attitude, it stinks. You can have on your finery, you can have your dress on, your jewelry on, your hair done, you can have your suit on, your tie on, your boots polished, your hat brushed, you can have it all. But if your attitude stinks, you got nothing. You're just an ugly, pretty person. I'm telling you. Okay, here's your checkpoints. I'm closing. Worship team, you better get up here because I got to close. Make sure you guys got your clothes on when you come on up here. Talk about in the spirit. All right. Oh, what's the slogan of our church, Al? Real church for real people. Yeah, All right. Number one, attitude checkpoint. It says, and here's the scripture, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Number one, am I going to prayer as the first resort in times of trial or need? Or do I try everything else until everything else runs out and then go, oh, well, maybe we ought to pray? Number two, am I growing in prayer both with the understanding and with the Spirit? We believe that the gift of praying in the Spirit, spiritual language, is part of the believer's arsenal, and God delights in giving that to every believer. Now, some have said to me, well, Kirk, I didn't receive it. I prayed and I didn't receive it. And they said, so, you know, I don't know about all that stuff. And my answer to that is, usually to a person who says that, because I was one of those people, I will just say, well, if you've asked, then just thank God for it and just be ready. Don't sweat it. We're not one of those churches that do weird things and make you, you know, say things to try to say things. I can't do that. But we believe, and I want to give you testimony. I could just go on and on with testimony after testimony. I'll tell you one guy said, I always have my devotions in the garage. When he heard me talk about praying in the Spirit, and it's part of our Foursquare heritage, and I encouraged everybody in one class I had to just ask God for that gift. He said, well, I asked, but I didn't get it. So I said, well, just thank God for it and wait. And he said, well, I had my devotions every day in my garage. And a year went by, and I just kept having my devotions in the garage before I went to work. And one day, I was having my devotions in my garage, and I started to pray, and all of a sudden, I was praying in the Spirit. I can tell you testimony after testimony after testimony like that. Why is that important? Because the Bible says we're to pray with the understanding, and we're also to pray with the Spirit. Because when we pray with the Spirit, we pray according to the will of God, and we pray according to the heart of God. And the Bible says when we pray according to the will of God, what? He answers our prayers. Sometimes there are so many needs. Sometimes there's so much going on that I don't know how to pray. And I pray in the Spirit for you, and I pray in the Spirit for this church, and I pray in the Spirit for my daughter, I pray in the Spirit for my wife, I pray in the Spirit for myself, because I don't know how to pray as I want to. But God gives me the very words in the Spirit. Number three, am I praying more for others than for myself? That's the last one. Is my prayer life categorized by Lord, I need, Lord, I need, Lord, I want, Lord, I want, Lord, please for me, Lord, please for me? Or is my prayer life filled with, Lord, will you touch so-and-so? Lord, will you break through in their life? Lord, will you draw them to Christ? Lord, will you heal that person? Lord, will you bring revival upon your people? Let's stand as we sing and close. We're just going to be a couple minutes over, not much. So just be patient. Thank you.
As we wait upon the Lord. lift us up on wings like eagles. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God, the everlasting God, the everlasting God.
Bow your hearts with me. Father, we come into this time where we're asking you to speak to our hearts. You have promised us victory in Jesus, Father God. Jesus, you said, if you're my disciples, you'll continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And Holy Spirit, the word says about you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that it's the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, that dwells within us, that's changing us day by day, inch by inch, degree by degree, glory by glory, into the wonderful image of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, this morning, we need to take an inventory. We need to do a belt check. We need to do a coat check. We need to do a hat check. We need to do a shoe check, an umbrella check, a wallet check, and an attitude check. Lord, I know that at different times in our life, we want in different areas. But this morning, I believe you want to speak to us specifically, maybe about one area or two that we've been neglecting in our lives. You so desire us to win this battle. You so desire us to walk in victory that you've given us the great spiritual armor of God. And Lord, you call us to put it on. Give us strength to do that today, we pray.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In a heart, in a weary soul, on a road that leads to a place unknown, you are making all things new. From a past that was marked with shame, now has hope that tomorrow's a brighter day, you are making. What I say and what I see and what I do, in the peace, the joy, the hope you bring, the doubt, the tears, the suffering, you are making all things new. Pain of a broken heart when the world stops turning, when it falls apart, you are making all things new. Yes, those tears that fall like rain and heartache so heavy, his love still remains, you are. What I say, and what I see, and what I do. In the peace, the joy, the hope you bring, the doubt, the tears, the suffering, you are making all things new. All things new. say, in what I see, in what I do. In the peace, the joy, the hope you bring, the doubt, the tears, the suffering, you are making all things new. In a heart, in a weary soul, on a road that leads to a place unknown, you are making all things new. You are making all things new.
Can we have our altar prayer team members come forward? I'm going to dismiss you in just 1 second. I have one more just quick, real snippet story. Guys will understand this. I had found the perfect baseball cap. It was a Detroit Tiger away cap, orange and blue. On the back, it had embroidered on it, Tigers. Found it in Michigan. Loved the cap. My favorite cap, it was my go-to cap. And I went on a business trip, and I had that cap in my drawer. I mean, I already told you how that works, right? And I came the next day back to my room, and that hat was gone. And so I searched everywhere for a new cap. I searched online. That cap didn't exist anymore. I looked. And I went back home and I had all these old caps, but none of those would do. I wanted something that replaced that. Finally, I found a new cap. And it was a day that it made my life just kind of like I was happy. I don't know if I called Karen, but I came across it. I found it and I wore it. And I even got $10 off on a purchase yesterday because I had that cap on. It's become my new go-to cap. You see, I had to die to that old cap so I could receive and embrace the new one. There comes a day when we have to say goodbye to our old life so we can embrace the new one. You may be here this morning and you need to make all things new for the first time. You need that new cap, the helmet of salvation. If that's you, then after we dismiss, you come up and pray with one of these couples here who will lead you to the cross and to committing your life to Christ. If you just need further prayer, come up. If they're busy, just sit down and there'll be someone to pray with you. But I'm going to dismiss you now. But if you're here and you just say, I'm tired of these old caps. I'm tired of all this brokenness. I need to make all things new. Then don't leave here this morning without praying with one of these couples. And you'll meet the one who makes all things new. It won't be them, but it'll be the one they introduce you to, Jesus. So Father, now seal the word in our hearts. Bless this wonderful day. Pour out your spirit upon us and now receive the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. You're dismissed in the love of the Lord. If you want to make all things new, come up and receive prayer this morning. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your Memorial Day weekend.